The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
I've got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May.
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. It's Dr. Dave's, that's right, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show, which have nothing to do with life, but there's a time to laugh. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the review of the goofiness, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Yay! Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Because I gotta go somewhere. Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk Jesus with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there, sticking strong on our theme. And our theme is, are we expecting more in 2024? I want you to answer this question. I want you to be honest. Are you expecting more of the same? Or are you expecting the Lord to do great things? Because where your faith is has a lot to do with how that manifests. Are we expecting more in 2024? People are like, well, I'm expecting disasters. I'm expecting this. I'm expecting this political problem and this and this. Are you expecting more in the kingdom of God in 2024? If you have an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. That's very, very sad. Just reach out and give us a call. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you. I'm telling you right now that tomorrow I will be relaxing and chillaxing.
Get a longer weekend.
It's going to be our long weekend. So tomorrow, for those that don't know, we have a schedule change because my wife, who worked 15 and a half hours the day before and yesterday 17 hours, which would be, as far as I can tell, 32 and a half hours in 2 days. Don't tell me. Don't even say a word. Just say nothing. That's the best thing. Let's just say this is once a year.
I can't even fathom working 17-hour shift.
It's just so unbelievable. But God gave her grace, and that's the most important part, and that's what I was praying all day long. Boy, it was just really, it was a hard one this year. Anyway, if you want to reach out to us, by the way, you can do that by phone. Let me tell you, you can also reach out to us by text. That's 214-210-8483. 214-210-8483. Semi-professional voice coming now.
214-210-8483. 8483.
There you go. You can also reach us by email, David at hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at he must increase from John 3:30. He must increase, I must decrease. He must increase.org, because we're a nonprofit corporation group of people doing our best to encourage one another as we see the return of Jesus Christ getting closer and closer. So tomorrow's schedule, I won't be here, but it is a top tenner replay. So that's pretty good. But a lot of people, when they listen to the replays, go, wow, I didn't hear that part. I didn't hear that part. Well, that's kind of normal, because there's a lot going on at a lot of times, and it's hard to give 100% concentration all the time. So that's for tomorrow. Number two, I want to thank everybody for praying for Noelle. She did, in fact, survive. But I will stress the phrase survive. I said check with her, you know, throughout the day. So one time I checked in with her and said, how you doing? She sent me a meme about somebody banging their head against a pole. That kind of tells you everything you need to know. So here's the bottom line to us giving you those contact information. So the number, the text, and the email. If you're in San Diego right now, it's 11:37. If you're in Denver, it's 12:37. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:37. If you're in Detroit, it's 2:37. And the bottom line is you can reach out to us by phone, the 972-445-0770 number. You can text us, 214-210-8483, or you can send us an email, and that can be for a prayer request. Maybe you got something going on, you need prayer, right? We got people that we need to be praying for on a regular basis. We're going to be praying for Will and his family. He's got a lot of things going on with his family right now, a lot of strain and stress, illness, and also financial stress. So we're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for anybody who calls in, because we want to make sure to take care of people and love on people. That's for a prayer request. All right, we'll combine our faith with yours. If you've got a praise report, something the Lord's done, it's like, I got to share that. That is just phenomenal. The Lord did this for me. First of all, it reinforces it for yourself, so that's cool. It's also something that encourages others, so that's cool. But most importantly, it gives glory and honor to the Lord. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So that's as strong, solid, straightforward as we can get. So if you've got that going on, reach out to us. If you've got a praise report, something you want to share, something the Lord's doing in your life, you just want to, you know, kind of express it, if you've got a question, something along those lines, we'll do our best. We're not perfect. I mean, I promise you, I'm not perfect. I guarantee not many people missed my slip-up in the first 10 seconds. I caught it. We're not perfect. It's just how it goes. But we do love the Lord, and we want to get closer, one step closer. That if you could get one step closer, it's worth it. That's the key. So for those that don't know, we are in 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, and we are at verse 5. Let me read that, and we'll get right into the word. It says this: examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Can't you see for yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless you actually fail the test. And I hope you'll realize that we have not failed the test. Let's just open up with this and see where it goes. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, Paul advises the church at Corinth to examine themselves to see whether they're in the faith. He urges them to test themselves. This process, let me say this very clearly, this process requires several elements for it to be valid. The first one is complete honesty with oneself. I've mentioned this multiple times. I'll never stop mentioning it. To this day, I've prayed many prayers over my 45-year Christian journey, but perhaps the most profound, deepest, honest prayer was when the Lord had told me he didn't want me doing what I was doing anymore, and I threw out all my stuff, and I got down on my hands and knees, and I told the Lord exactly where I was at. There's no hiding, no pretense, no fake, no churchianity, no fake Christian living, none of that. I just told the Lord, I like doing this stuff because I haven't found anything better on the planet. But I know you don't want me to do this stuff. And so I'm trying to get to that place where you will help me. And I won't do that anymore. Can you please help me stop doing this stuff? Because I know you don't want me doing it. And I went to bed, and after 5 years and getting high 20-plus times a day for five straight years, that was it. I don't think it was because of me. I think it was because there was an honesty and then grace was extended. That is required for you and I to examine ourselves. There's got to be an honesty. And I'm going to get the other side of this, so don't freak out. Let me just get to this part first, and then I'll flip to the other side. This requires a very deep sense of honesty for yourself. If you can imagine scanning yourself, going through your entire top to bottom, everything about you, all of your thoughts, all of your words, all of your actions, all the things that are going on, and just to be honest about it. Now, it's super easy for people to self-justify. Job did it. What do you mean Job did it? Job was like, look, I ain't that bad. That is not self-examination. That's a comparison. And we often do exactly what Job did. Instead, we need to examine ourselves and see if there are any thoughts, any actions, any words, any intent that is contrary to Jesus. And if they're there, we need to acknowledge it. It's like, you're not going to hide. I'm going to hide from God so he won't see it. That's not going to work. Didn't work with Adam and Eve. But see, that's in the old nature, to try and hide. That's the wrong approach. Now, there's another part of this I want to bring up because we don't talk about it a lot. If you examine yourself and you're not finding all of those things that you used to find, if you're examining yourself and you're like going, wow, my list used to be 13,000, now it's only 2,000. We need to acknowledge that too. On this show, we often discuss the need for honesty. Our reflection needs to be one that we're willing to bring anything before the Lord when we fail. At the same time, we need to be honest and be honest with ourselves and with the Lord when we're succeeding. See, it's not just a matter of tearing ourselves down because, you know, that's not what God does. He doesn't just tear you down. It's a matter of acknowledging also where we do show faith, where we do act in accordance with God's purposes and wills. Because what it means is that we're growing and we're developing and we're becoming more Christ-like. It's like, how can that be bad? Well, of course it's not bad. And so you need to give yourself that acknowledgement. You're not trying to be dishonest. You're not trying to be self-righteous when you do that. I've grown a lot since I've become a Christian. I think my faith was more pure in the early days, and the whole thing was a little more pure. And then after going through some stumbling times and some bad church experiences and all that other stuff, maybe a little bit of anger and bitterness drew in there, and the Lord's pulled me out, and given me the grace to see other people being blessed by me going through what I've gone through and coming out of it. It's like you grow in that. So we need to acknowledge that as well. We need to say, you know, when we do act in accordance with God's purposes, that we are growing, that we are obedient, that we are doing it. And that's inside of us. So I don't want you just to sit there and look at yourself and go, I'm a mess. Some things you have are you are in a mess. You just be honest about it. That's what the self-examination is. And then Paul says this. He says, can't you see for yourself that Jesus' grace is in you? Let's be honest. If you're listening to this show, it's highly unlikely that Jesus isn't in you because you're trying to get more of God in your life. You're listening because you want to grow. The whole reason you listen to the show is because there's something happening between God and you that helps you and that helps you draw into the kingdom. It's not because of me. I'm an idiot. But see, God uses idiots. That's obvious. So the idea behind this is to understand, look, you know Jesus is in you. Nah, it's not perfect. But you know the Lord is in you and with you. And then it says, he says this, unless you actually fail the test, which he almost is saying that tongue in cheek. I mean, this is, he's not expecting any of these people to go, I failed. And then he goes, I hope you realize that we've not failed the test. Hey, we're being genuine, sincere, and honest. Now, I want to shift over because before we take our break, I got to do this. In verse 7, he goes, now, we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that we will appear to have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even if we appear to have failed. I got to make this comment because this is an amazing little twist here. In this verse 7, Paul's making a classic switch. He's telling the believers that he doesn't want them to do anything wrong. Can I just say this? Who wants somebody to do something wrong? God doesn't want you to do something wrong. The people of God don't want you to do something wrong. And if you're a Christian, you don't want to do something that's wrong. I mean, that's just normal. But Paul's saying, even if we fail the test, it really is not going to matter because you still shouldn't do anything wrong. Here's what he's trying to say. Don't do wrong stuff. Even if you're not a Christian, don't do wrong stuff. That's just dumb. Now, as Christians, we're like, yeah. And you don't want other Christians to do wrong stuff. You don't want other brothers and sisters. You don't want anybody to do wrong stuff. You don't want the name of Christ reproached because somebody's not doing it right. That's terrible. So Paul is encouraging everybody. He's trying to like kind of tell them, look, take a look at yourself. You got to make sure you got things honest and square before the king. And once you've done that, recognize that. And see that Jesus is in you. Of course he's in you. How do you know Jesus is in you? You know what? You know, I'll just give you the most bizarre thing. If you're concerned that Jesus is in you, that would only be because Jesus is in you. In other words, if you have any concern at all, it's almost a witness going, because people who don't want anything to do with Jesus, they don't care. But you care. And that's a bit of a testimony by itself. Of course, the Holy Spirit's bearing witness inside of you. But this part of you that cares, that just tells you, I'm in. How do you know you're in? Because you want to be in. That's the whole point. All right, let's take a deep breath. That's not bad. Deep breath. Here we go. What? Here's your first Bible trivia question. What were the people who lived in Sodom like? Were they loving people? Were they barbarians? Or were they perverted sinners? The people in Sodom, were they loving? Were they barbarian or were they perverted sinners? Your answer is in Genesis 18:20. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us and give us a ringy dingy dingy. Our number here, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210. 8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Now, before we take any calls or do anything, I'm going to send you up to the website because this is something we need to be a little diligent on. We get to this same part every month, somewhere between the 11th, the 10th, 9th and 10th, and the 21st. There's this lull in our finances. I don't know what happens. It's so bizarre. But anyway, if you're in a place to give, please consider giving to the ministry. We will not give you a whistle, but we will send you a receipt. Plus, we're very thankful for it. Also on the website is multiple opportunities to be encouraged in audio, in video, in articles, as well as a place for you to put any kind of praise report you have or any kind of prayer request you have. But again, if you're in a position to give, we would encourage you to do so. It's the donate button. That would be fantastic. But if you can't, don't worry about it. We're all going to do the best we can before the Lord. That's the goal. Check out that website and all there is on there at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org!
Yeah. You know what I'm kind of waiting for when that sound comes now? I'm waiting for that animal to do some kind of tic-tac-toe thing. I think that's like, isn't that where the chickens or the hens do tic-tac-toe and they push the little buttons and then that's what I'm waiting for.
Oh, okay. I was confused at first.
Yeah. So like, I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting right here. Ding. Oh, he put one in the corner. You know, it's just that kind of thing. All right. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is a person from somewhere. Oh, the rainbow.
Turn your radio down. Hey, you've got to be from somewhere in order to be from somewhere. Even if you're from nowhere, that's somewhere.
So yeah.
Just think of it that way. All right, brother, you ready? Let me set up the trivia question for you. Here we go. Yep. All right. What were the people who lived in Sodom like? Were they loving people, barbarian people, or perverted sinners?
They were perverted sinners.
That is correct, Amundo! Perverted sinners. That is exactly right. And some people are like, oh, they just didn't show hospitality. It's like, maybe you should read the Bible instead of listening to other people talk about it. That would be very, very helpful. Anyway, how are you, bro?
Good. Hey, doctor, I have a question for you.
Okay, I may have an answer and I may not. It just depends on where it goes.
Okay, which person in the Bible knew many, many people in person besides Jesus?
Which person in the Bible knew many, many people besides Jesus? Are we talking like somebody who knew people because of how long they...
In person.
I'm going to let you answer that because I don't have any idea where you're going with that.
Abraham, because he knew a lot.
Ah! There it is! Bazinga! Abraham knew so many people because he knew a lot. Excellent job, brother.
And I said in person.
Yep, that was a good one. That's a good one. You get props for that one. That's a 9 out of a 10.
Hey, I was praying for your lovely bride this morning, and I got the impression, and while I was praying, there was a truck was passing by, and it says sunburst. So I felt like a Lord is going to bless your bride with a sunburst truckload of energy while she's resting.
Amen. I receive that in Jesus' name for sure.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Could we also pray for the people yesterday? They got hurt by this during the celebration of Chief.
Yes.
Yeah,
let's pray about that. Father, we come before you right now, and Lord, our society is going through just such a tough time, and we can't even celebrate without people breaking out and breaking down. And we just know it's because sin is growing stronger and stronger amongst people. So we pray for mercy. We know that in one family situation, it's just so tragic. We are asking for grace. You know what, Lord? Our country needs healing. Please bring your healing and your mercy in the name of Jesus into our country, and let us become the beacon that we were once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, David. David, I have a very quick question. What's the name of our brother? Is it Damon Jacob or is it Jamin?
I can't hear you. Say that again.
Is it Jamin or Jamin?
It's the brother's Jamin Jacob. So Jacob is his name, but jamming is what he does. He's a jammer.
Oh, somehow I was thinking his name is Jamin.
No, that's a. I'm hanging up now.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. he is a hoot. All right. Well, he's not an owl, but he's a hoot. All right, let's go back to this. We only got a couple minutes, so I want to make sure we get into this. Paul says this real quickly. He says this in verse 7. He says, verse 8, we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. In fact, we rejoice that when we are weak, but you are strong, but our prayer for you is for your perfection. But I want to go back to what he says more than anything else. Listen to what he's saying. It's a fascinating theological statement. We can't do anything against the truth before the truth. How's that possible, Dave? It's simple. The truth in and of itself cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. If we give a bad witness to the truth, we are at fault. That's fine and true. But the truth doesn't become any less true. The truth stands steadfast for sure. Like Jesus is the Messiah. People can give a bad witness, but that ain't going to change that Jesus is the Messiah. So that's what Paul is saying. The truth doesn't become any less true. Paul's simply saying, hey, I'm praying for your perfection. I'm praying for your maturity. I'm praying for your completion. So when he says perfection, almost every time in the Bible, perfection means completeness, fullness, maturity. I mean, there's only one instance where really not. And it's not a moral perfection, but it's a completeness of the person. As Christians, we can have and should have everything covered from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul is kind of emphasizing, is that you got to have that completeness going on. But he does make that statement, and you and I need to recognize it. Look, it's bad if you do something that brings a witness against the truth, but it's not going to negate the truth. The truth doesn't change. People change. Cultures change. Kingdoms change. Presidents change. Politicians change. Hollywood changes. Academics changes. Now they can't even figure out the difference between a man and a woman. They all change. It's all ridiculous. The truth never changes. Ever. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Got it. In him there is no change. Hey, if you are in San Diego, or if you are in Denver, or if you are in Detroit, just go to HeMustIncrease.org and you can hit the Listen Live button. Still have some fun with us. If you're in Dallas, hang out. We're going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
The David Spoon Experience.
And that hope that is offered to us is something that's supposed to greatly encourage us. Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Through the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again. And by faith in the testimony of God, you can live forever. That hope is offered to us. If that hope is offered to you and you have not yet accepted, acknowledged, and surrendered to it, I ask you to do so right this second. I don't even care if you do a fancy prayer. Just say, God, save me in Jesus' name. You will be saved. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, and you surrender your heart to Jesus Christ, turning from where you were and turning to him, you will find life right now. You might be out there thinking, there's no way it can be that easy. Wrong, but you have to receive it. You have to surrender to it. You have to acknowledge God's testimony and say yes to Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what your friends say. Doesn't matter what any other family member says. It only matters for your decision before God in regards to his testimony relating to Jesus Christ and your sins. And that's the hope that is offered to us. And we can be greatly encouraged by that. And that hope is an anchor to our soul. That anchor makes it so that even if the winds are heavy and the waves are intense, we don't get tossed and lost. That there is some stability. That there is some strength. And you can't be like these people that have no hope. All there is this life and there's nothing else. That's why they're trying to sin their brains out, because they don't think there's anything else left. But they're going to die and face God. And he's going to ask regarding his account that he's given in relationship to Jesus Christ. And they're going to have to answer. And if they have rejected, then they will be as they have placed themselves as people with no hope. But if you're a person that has not made that decision to say yes to Jesus Christ, make that decision right now.